Hey, Robert.
Yeah.
Troy Tyree, WCUW calling.
How you doing, Troy?
I'm doing good.
Nice to hear you from me.
Yeah, I don't know if you recollect, we did talk a time or two in the past here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, how long ago was that?
I think last time you were at the Royal, actually. A year ago?
Okay, great, yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, here we are, and I have to tell you.
When I came out to the show, was it when I came out to your show?
No. No, I'm out in Worcester.
Yeah, okay.
We did a phoner. And,
okay, great.
Yeah, usually I do phoner, so it's rare that I actually get set with somebody. So, hey, I appreciate this time. And, you know, I'll splice this all together into hopefully a coherent interview with music in between, et cetera. But,
sure.
All right. Well, out of the gate here, I have to say that I've been enamored with you since No Kind of Dancer. You actually sort of pulled me away from the folk world into to the rock. And at that time, I don't think Americana was exactly a word.
I don't think so either, unless it was like had to apply to like some kind of car or something.
Exactly. So, yeah, I came out of the gate with a show called New Traditions, and I haven't looked back since, and here you are now. It's, what, 31 years later, and you're making a bluegrass album.
Yeah. I made a really fun bluegrass album, and it sort of comes from, you know, my lifelong love of bluegrass.
Uh-huh. Well, tell us about it.
Well, I was thinking, I thought for a long time that I'd like to do this, and I really cut my teeth on playing behind fiddle players, of all things. And I didn't really do the kind of sit over my radio and listen to songs and try to figure out things. I just became this sort of backup guitar player for fiddle players, and then that kind of went into bluegrass. You know, you'd find a bluegrass band at every fiddle contest.
Sure.
And then from there, I, you know, kind of played in that style with a lot of people around school and college. And as I went on with that, I had written poetry and things from the time I was a very small child. And so it just made sense to me to sit around and write songs. So I sort of learned how to write songs. But all of a sudden, one day, about 3 years ago, I realized that if I was ever really going to make a real bluegrass record, like a real bluegrass songs, not ones that I made up, but, you know, great, great traditional songs, that I had to do it now. So I called my friend Lloyd Maines, and he said, yeah, that he said, I never made a bluegrass record, but I can make one. I said, okay, great. So then I called all my friends, Sarah Watkins and Danny Barnes, and my band played on it, and Kim Warner, and got Peter Rowan on it. I mean, so we just made this killer bluegrass record, and it was really fun. And then, you know, people really like it. I mean, it's one of those records where people look at me, even people that know me, that I know that they don't care for my music, they go, man, you did pretty good on this one. I really like this one, like they expected not to. So it's been great.
Good. So where did the title come from, Happy Prisoner?
Well, it comes from some pajamas that my two girls and my wife and I all wear during the holidays. Like, and you watch really crummy, you know, sappy tearjerker movies like Home Alone 4 or something. And we have these pajamas that we wear that have these horizontal stripes, and they look like prison uniforms like you'd see from the 30s for sure. And so I was trying to figure out what kind of title I wanted. And, you know, there's this great black and white, push me, pull you sort of kind of thing going on in bluegrass where the music is really, really uplifting, and sometimes the lyric is very tragic. So I thought there was this, you know, divide, and I was looking for something like that, and I opened up a drawer one day, and I saw my pajamas there, and I said, Happy Prisoner, that's the answer. And it was.
There you are. So, you know, I've read that you really don't think of yourself as a singer, but, you know, bluegrass is, you know, it's like the voice is three-quarters of the song.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was probably one reason I didn't do one for so long. I mean, I've been aware of, you know, how my voice is for many years, and I am a true lover of great bluegrass music. You know, one of my favorite bluegrass records ever was, and it's not exactly a complete bluegrass record, but I love, in the world of singing, is that Skaggs and Rice record that Sugar Hill put out about 30 years ago, and it's just a fantastic. So I love those singers. I love people that sing bluegrass music, and I love listening to bluegrass music, and I never did feel like I was that much of a singer. But, you know, after a while, I just, you know, I thought, I don't care. I've got my own approach. I got my, yeah. I have my own. I just, you know, I just want to do this. I love this music so much. I just want to do it. I'm going to do it in my style. And, you know, fortunately for me, I had Boyd Maines to work with, and he's just the kindest, most, you know, strongest kind of personality that has this amazing ability to bring out the best in people. And so he helped me with the whole thing, with the singing particularly, and it was really a wonderful experience for me for so many reasons that we did such a great job in the end. I think the result was great, but also I learned a ton from making this record.
Oh, yeah. Well, he definitely brings your voice out very well in this this album. The Robert Earl King Jr. or Robert Earl King with us here on the jukebox, and so you're known as a bit of a cut up actually with your lyrics, and the bluegrass discipline really is pretty straightforward. Do you ever have a challenge to trying to keep it straight while you're singing these songs?
Well, you know, we had a lot of fun with the first cut, Hot Corn, Cold Corn. I mean, that was a big kick, you know. We had, you know, kind of dance around sort of the thing. Right. But in general, you know, when I'm serious about certain things, I like to, you know, I don't really want to try to remake the format, or I just want to do it, you know, the way that I think it should be done. And so I didn't have any, you know, real thoughts of, you know, kind of yucking it up too much.
Right. So you've been doing some co-writing.
Yeah, I'm up here in Nashville right now.
Uh-huh.
And I live in Texas. I live in Kerrville, Texas. And I've been going. I've written so many songs for so long, and I've also been on the bus for so long. And believe me, as cool as that is a way to travel, you can actually get into that in a bus, and it's like a, you know, it's its own certain kind of bubble where you don't really take in things, and you don't really realize what's going on in the world outside. And you walk in it one day, and then 10 years later, you step off of it, and you go, God, all these things have happened, and I wasn't aware. And so I didn't feel like I was really connected with the whole songwriting world, and that's really what I love to do the most is write songs. And
right.
I, you know, had made an attempt years and years ago to, you know, kind of write. You know, I've written some, you know, great songs with other people like Lyle Lovett and Steve Earle and stuff like that, but I never had really put a lot of effort into just going and just putting my attention on writing a song with other people. I've just had a great time with it.
Excellent. So are you still doing the songwriting class?
No, I you know, I go in and out. I actually got called to do, you know, like to be so be like on a, there's a little university. It's a great university called Shriner University in my town, Kerrville. Uh-huh. And I talk to them about every year about going over there and teaching something. And I, sometimes I think that's really the answer in life is to, you know, learn something there, gather all this information, and then really, truly give it back in the best way you can give it back. Certainly is sort of in wisdom, however, you know, whatever wisdom I have. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that I know that people, you know, just don't know about, I don't know, songwriting or the music business or, you know, mm-hmm. touring. I mean, there's a ton of stuff. So as soon as I get off the road, I'll probably be doing something like that.
Excellent. And as you are doing co-writing, when you're writing with other folks, are you sitting there thinking about who's going to be singing this song? And if so, who are some of those people?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, but I've never approached it that way because I've never been much of an emulator of other people's singing. I mean, there are people and they're fabulous and I love them, and I've been writing with some of those kind of people, but I tend to sit down and try just to write the best song that I can write with that person, because the opportunity just to sit there and just talk about certain things and get those together, if you put too much of a boundary on it, then, you know, maybe the song won't work out. So I really have, you know, I've written everything from, you know, what I would call it, you know, just a straightforward, really good, solid commercial country song. And then I've written some, you know, really fun, crazy songs with people. And it's been a great experience every time I sit down with somebody.
Sure. So I've read this, but I'd love to hear you vocalize your how Marty Robbins influenced you.
Well, I would have to say Marty Robbins was really the first voice that ever crept into my head, and I love that song. I love that song, Ribbon of Darkness, and I remember hearing that when I was a really small child, and you know, kind of trying to sing along with it, and I just love the lilting imagery and the beauty of the song. Just the sound of the song always made me think of these like really beautiful sort of broken clouds, you know, over an incredible golden horizon. And I love that feeling. And then after that, you know, my mom went out and bought that Marty Robbins Gunfighter record. And I imagine if I had to, I could sit down and sing every song on that thing.
That's great. Robert O'Keefe, I appreciate this time. I think I'm just about out of it here, actually. You're allowing me about 15 minutes. And great conversation here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling. I wish I did have more time, but I've got some other ones to talk to some people, so I appreciate that.
All right. Hope to see you at the show then. Thanks, Robert.
If you do come to the show, please say hello. I'd like to talk just to say hello.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.